My friend Hillary Lewis Nicole, all the way from Ghana, Africa, is visiting. His son is enrolled in school at Millikan University, doing very well. And Hillary is on the world leadership team for Youth for Christ International. And they just had their, I think it's once every 3 years, they have an annual, or they have a conference, a world conference that comes together. And they had that in Miami in September. So they were here and just had a wonderful time with staff from all over the world coming together to be encouraged and challenged and trained. And so Hillary made his way here to visit with his son and just connect with a few churches. And he is going to bless us this morning by bringing God's word and just catching us up with what's going on in Youth for Christ Africa. So, Hillary, thanks so much for being here. God bless you. We're so excited to have you here, bro.
Thanks, bro. Thanks. It's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much, Pastor Ron, for the opportunity that you always give to me when I'm here, either to meet with you, to have some meeting, or even to preach, or even to share about the things God is doing in Africa. Thank you. I feel very honored. I feel very privileged. Anytime I am here, I always feel like a part of, I'm always having that great feeling that I'm a part of this fellowship. Thank you so much, congregation, for having me. Thank you so much for everything, for your support. Thank you. Thank you. I want to take this time quickly to share some highlights. Of course, I'm now with the ladies. Leon is not there anymore. He's here with you guys in the U.S. So I'm the only man around, as you can see. You see, Hillary's the last one on the left there. She has grown Taiwo in the middle, and Mallory, she is the fashionista. She wants to study fashion and design. Next. For some of you who are not too familiar with what we're doing, we're in 50 nations in Africa, five regions. We have the AA leadership team that would meet like twice a year. And then we're currently in 31 nations. We're doing a lot of pioneering work, and we have over 3,700 staff and volunteers. I had the opportunity, like Pastor Ken just said, I was in Miami. We had our General Assembly every 3 years. The last time we had it in Thailand. This year it was in Miami. Well, we weren't sure that we were going to have it, but we had to wait till after the storm had passed. It was hard on us from Africa because most of our guys had gotten their tickets. They had to cancel, and when they went in again to buy their tickets, the prices had just skyrocketed. There's two guys in Benin, West Africa, Francophone West Africa. Their ticket cost, the normal price was $2,000. After the storm, they went in again. It cost $4,000. So they couldn't make it. But we were blessed to have over 300 participants at the conference in Miami. We had 40 Africans who were present. It was a blessing. It was a blessing to have the new national directors come in. In the Africa area, we were able to meet and see each other and be able to fellowship. We had some amazing times of business. Business is not that always okay, but we had a wonderful business session. We had fellowship times, and man, the plenary sessions were just fabulous. We had such a powerful word as we looked at the vision, as we looked at the values of Youth for Christ Africa. So that's my team. Sorry, that's my team, less the Francophone guy who was not there, the Beninois. So we want to celebrate what God has done. You can see over 300,000 young people were exposed to our ministry in 2016. And out of that, 153,000 we're given the opportunity to make a decision for Christ. And see, over 85,000 responded to that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so excited to be a part of what God is doing in Africa. And today we have over 70,000 in discipleship programs. Yep. We want to thank God for all our ministries that are thriving. We have schools doing very well. Schools in Rwanda, if you see, those are kids from the Rwanda High School. They have two high schools, one having 400 students and the other 200 students. In Burundi, we have three high schools. Well, the one is just up to junior high, the last one. But the first two, 567 students, and then 287 in the two, and then the last one up to a junior high is 135 students. You know, as we look out for leaders in Africa, can you go back to the other slide, the former slide? You know, as we look at the leadership in Africa, the young people don't look up to leadership anymore. So when we have schools like these, we are thrilled because we know we're helping them become better in their nations so that they can be able to go in for leadership positions in their nations. So that's why as you pray for us, be praying for these kids, be praying for them. We have many others. We have some other schools in the Gambia, in other parts, and God is doing such amazing work in their hearts. Some of them, it takes a lot of funding for them to be able to help these kids, like the kids in Rwanda. Most of them are from families who had suffered the genocide, who had lost family members, and so they don't have much, you know. So they have to be supported. They have to be given some kind of scholarship for them to be able to go through school. So pray for them as you think of the schools, the orphanages. We have lots of young people coming through. Crisis pregnancy, the options. We have young ladies who are being encouraged. Once they get pregnant, they don't go and abort, but rather we encourage them to have their babies. You know, there's worth to let them know that life has worth. We encourage them. We speak to their parents, and some parents just say no, we don't want these kids back. Some others we talk to them, and they're willing to accept them again into their homes. And we have mothers who take their time to pray, Operation Hannah. Young people who take their time to pray for young people, Operation Daniel. And we are seeing just the move of God. Lives being transformed. Sometimes you see deliverances. Other times you see healings of our young people as well, even as we pray. And then the school's clubs. Lots of them in schools, many young people are coming through the schools, through our schools, through the schools clubs. It's amazing what God is doing through our staff and volunteers. We have board members. Last year alone, we traveled to 12 nations, me and my team, and we met with 12 different boards. We train those boards, and they're doing excellently now. They know what is required of them. And we're having staff conferences. The last staff conference we had last year had over 88 Southerners in attendance, all from the Southern region, 88 of them. And man, at the end of the conference, some of them were saying, man, we wish we were having it for one more day, because they just loved it. Because they come in and we help them. We call those conferences competency development conferences. So we're helping them to become sharper. We're helping them to be on the cutting edge of whatever they are doing. And it's just a blessing going around and seeing how people are being developed, how people are growing in the ministry and doing a more effective and efficient work in their nations. So we're very thankful to God for all that He's doing. Our prayer concerns, you know, I know you're aware, political instability, We have young people even going to Iraq, going to these countries because of poverty. They don't have money, so they offer them, oh, you come, we'll give you $100 a month. And they're willing to go to Iraq. They're willing to go to these countries and be involved in Islamist extremism. Yeah, it's sad. In Ghana, it has happened in Ghana, where parents were looking out for their kids who had gone to the universities, and some of them had traveled all the way to go join Boko Haram. Dysfunctional homes, of course, it's taking a toll on some of our young people. You know, fathers are not there. A lot of fatherlessness. Unemployment, I've spoke about it. And then we have a lot of demonic activities, cults in colleges, in schools. So that's why I'll be talking about spiritual warfare today. And then drug abuse. We see many youth involving in this. And some have even committed suicide. If I have the time, I will share about a young lady who almost killed herself. So this morning, I want us to talk about spiritual warfare. I hope I have the time. There's so much you can talk about. But I hope I'll have the time to share a little bit with you. And I pray that God will open your heart. Daddy, thank you so much for this morning. Daddy, thank you for this time. I capture the hearts for your glory. Let your name be glorified. Minister to us and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As Christians, we should know that we're in the midst of a great spiritual battle. The moment we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus, a battle has begun. A warfare has begun. If you are not aware of that, I want you to be aware of that this morning. That you are in a spiritual battle. It's the forces of good against the forces of evil. The forces of light against the forces of darkness. And we need to understand what is going on. We need to understand what Satan wants to do to us, the weapons he's using against us, and we even need to know what God is doing and what God has given unto us, has made available unto us. We need to understand that. Saint, if you did not know this morning, that you are in a battle. And see what Satan does. He opposes God, his purposes, and you and I, his people. That's what he does. Number one, know your enemy. I don't know for here in the US, but in Africa, some people think that your enemy is your neighbor who doesn't like you, who is behaving differently. Or a relative who doesn't like you, who hates you. That is your enemy. In Africa, we have lots of that. And you have, they go to the Old Testament and you hear people saying, oh, our enemy must die. And their meaning, their relatives, their friends, who they don't have, you know, they are not in good terms with. But I want us to understand that we are in this battle and we need to know our enemy. Who is our enemy? Our enemy is the world, everything opposed to God, the flesh, and Satan. The Bible says, for though we war in the flesh, we do not war. We are in a warfare, we do not war in the flesh. For though we war in the in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, for though we have this war going on, it is not a fleshly war. It is not. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And in Ephesians 6, 12, it tells us that yes, we're fighting against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And then it says the devil is like a roaring lion. But then in James it says, God does not tempt us. It doesn't tempt us. It is our lusts that draw us away from him. So we need to know that yes, Satan is our enemy. The demons are our enemies. And then the flesh is our enemy. The flesh is pushing us away from God. This lust, these cravings are pulling us away from God. And we see in the Old Testament how he wanted to be like God and how he was kicked out of heaven. In Job, we see when Job was being attacked. I mean, we can see the drama, but Job didn't see the drama then. He didn't know what was going on. When he lost his kids in one day. When he lost everything in one day. He didn't know what was going on, but thank God you and I understand this today, that we are in a warfare. He didn't understand that. And that's what he does sometimes. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He takes away from us. Sometimes he takes family members away from us. Sometimes he takes our property away from us. Sometimes it brings sickness on us. We need to know our enemy. It's the world, the flesh, and Satan. And we see lots of that. Even in Daniel, we see how there was a war going on. Daniel was praying and there was this warfare going on. He didn't know for 21 days. The angel of God was being blocked by the enemies of darkness. But then he got the breakthrough. Michael. And he got the answer. So that is happening. There's some warfare going on, my brother, my sister. There's some warfare going on, and we need to know the enemy. See in the New Testament when what happened? You remember Satan had the audacity to go to Jesus and say, okay, can I have this man? Can I sift this guy a little bit? And Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Peter. Remember Ananias and Sapphira, when he sold his property and he came and told the lie, and Peter said to him, why did Satan put this lie in your heart? Why did you allow Satan? A lot of deception, a lot of lies. That's how it works. But then we need to know that that's the enemy. We need to know that, oh, the flesh is doing this, it's pulling me down. We need to know that the world, all the things in this world. We look at media today. Man, so much is happening in that arena. And if you're not careful, the enemy is going to use that media to capture your heart. Today, our young people are involved in pornography. Why? Because it is out there. When we were growing up, it wasn't out there. But now, they watch on TV screens, they see it. It's free of charge. They can be in their rooms and they take mommy's phone and they're watching pornography. Saints, for us to know our enemy, the world, our flesh, and Satan, for us to be able to decipher what the enemy is doing, we must spend time with God. It is as basic as that. Because when you spend time with His Word, when you fellowship with His Word, you know what happens? You are fellowshipping with Daddy. You're fellowshipping with the Father. And as you fellowship with Him, as you gravitate towards Him, as He begins to work in you, as He begins to expose or just open up Himself to you, you know what? You begin to be more like Him. And those things you're struggling with, they just fall off. You don't even know that they have fallen off. And then He helps you to see, as you spend time with His Word, you begin to see, okay, Satan moved in the Old Testament. He moved in the New Testament. He moved in the church. Okay, I can see this. But if you don't spend time with God's Word, how would you get to know your enemy? It's not possible. Because everything would look like normal. Everything would look like normal. Because sometimes the enemy does his way. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we fail to see this. We need to spend time with God's word. We need to pray, spend time in prayer, seek Him, call upon Him. Because the more we pray, it shows our dependence on Him. And I'm not talking only about the set times where we come, we pray, we read the word. As we go through life, as you go through the day, I'm bathing. I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I can bath like this, because many there are who cannot bath. As I'm eating, I say, thank you, Daddy, for this food. Thank you, Lord. As I walk down the road, I say, thank you for your angels around me. Thank you, Daddy, because you are with me. I keep talking to Him all the time. I sat down there, we were worshiping. I was talking to Him. It's not only when I come to church. No. I keep engaging with Him every single moment of the day. And that's what He wants. A constant contact with Him. A constant closeness with Him. It is only then we'll be able to see as He sees. When we are that close to Him, when the enemy comes in, we know, oh, you are sitting in your office, and then this thing pops up. This naked, you know, photo just pops up or something, and you want to engage, and then the Spirit of God says, no. Listen, that's when you know when you're in tune with the Lord, because your spirit becomes so sensitive. So sensitive, you see. The moment you see that, you say, no. Some thoughts come your way and you begin to think some evil thoughts and you say, oh no, I'm capturing my thoughts for glory. I'm telling you, sometimes I sit down there and I say, oh, my thoughts. And then at the moment I say, Lord Jesus, I give you my thoughts. I capture them for glory. And then it's like, my mind is blank. It's gone. Why? Because I've taken authority. Because I know what the enemy can do. So he's using my thoughts to distract or to cause me to wander away from God. Are you getting a sense of who the enemy is? If your sense is dull, I want to suggest a drawing closer to Him. A drawing closer to God. Number two. In Ephesians 6, 13 to 18, it tells us about putting on the full armor of God. It is a command, and our protection is assured. What are the pieces? It talks about the loins guarded with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with peace, our shield of faith, our helmet of salvation, and our offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, and then prayer. Did you see any piece that covers the back? Did you see any piece in the Bible that covers the back? No. So that means there is no turning around to the enemy. No giving your back to the enemy. You have to. The Bible says in Ephesians, and after you have done all this, to stand. You stand. You don't do like this. That was why Julius Caesar was fighting a battle. And he was there on a high top and a high mountain, and he was watching the battle go on. And he sat down there, and all of a sudden he saw this guy turn around and was fleeing. He said, my word, what's this? He said, get me that guy, let him come. And they got the guy, they brought him to Julius Caesar, and he said, my boy, what is your name? And he mumbled something, Julius Caesar. He said, I said, what is your name? And he said, Julius Caesar. He said, what? You either change your name or you change your character. You don't give your back to the enemy. You don't. So we have to put on the whole armor of God. We are the righteousness of God. We have to share the good news. We have to have the shield of faith. We have to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that believe in Him. We must have faith in Him. Do you have faith in God? If the enemy knows that you have faith in Him, no matter what, yes, He will come, but He would go back because He sees a man and a woman after God's own heart. A man and a woman who is trusting, who is leaning on God. He's seen that. So we have to put on the full armor of God. You see, when you spend time with Him, when you now meditate on His word and you obey the word, all of this happens because you begin to have faith in Him. You now can tell others about Jesus. And then you have the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. You can speak the word with confidence. And let the enemy know that you know. Is the word of God on our lips? Do we take charge? Does the enemy see you take charge? Some things are going wrong in your family. Man, it's high time you got up and say, no, I'm going to put a stop to this. Because it looks like the enemy wants to tamper with my family. And you say, God, I'm taking charge. My family, I'm taking charge in the name of Jesus. With the full armor of God, protection is assured. Point number three. Appropriate every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And know that the battle is the Lord. So I'm it's just a sequel to what I just said. That when you know the enemy, when you know God's word, you can appropriate. You can wake up in the morning like I do in the morning sometimes. Thank you, Lord, that I have all spiritual blessings in high places. I pace up and down, and as I'm calling upon God, I say, thank you for spiritual blessings that I have. Thank you, Daddy, that I'm a battle axe in your hands. Thank you that I'm your righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. Oh, thank you that I'm seated in the heavenly places. And I'm telling you, by the time I'm done saying not what I want to say, saying God's word, He has quickened me and the enemy knows who I am. Yep. Do you say that? When things are going bad, do you say, no more with this. I'm putting a stop to you in the name of Jesus. That's it. It's the authority. And you appropriate. I am for signs and wonders. This will not. I am for signs and wonders, Daddy. Friends, I'm speaking scriptures. It's not my words. I'm just using scriptures. If you know, if you're digging in, if you're getting into scriptures, you will get to know that what I'm saying are just right there. And we need to just appropriate. So there are times when we speak to sickness, whatever the name the sickness has, we speak to that sickness, whatever your name, I say in the name of Jesus, bow. It's authority. We appropriate every blessing. Number four. In the spiritual war, Satan employs a variety of strategies to oppose and defeat God's child. He's such a shrewd guy. In Matthew 4, Luke 4, we see how he came and tempted Jesus. In three areas. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Lust of the flesh. Oh, look at the stones. Turn them to bread. Lots of the eyes, he took him up to a high mountain and he showed him everything. He showed him everything. I said, okay, look at it. See, if you would fall down and worship me. Lost of the eyes. And then he took him to a high point and said, okay, look at all the kingdoms. If you bow down and worship me, if you're really the Son of God, pride of life. Is it any different when we look at Genesis 3, 6? It's no different. He says, and when the woman saw that it was good for food, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, rather. Good for food, the craving of this body. And it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes. And that it could make one become wise, pride of life. Saint, that is schemes. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, pride of life. These are the strategies. If he doesn't get you on one, in one, he will get you in another. So don't feel that you are okay when you're doing just right with one. No. Be watchful. Be vigilant. That's why I love what Jesus Christ said in John 14 and verse 30. He said, Satan has nothing on the inside of me. Today, Satan is able to capture our hearts, to capture us, to do things to us, because there is something on the inside of us connecting us to himself. What is that thing connecting you to darkness? Is it pride? Is it some lies? Is it bitterness? Is it unforgiveness? Listen, all of those connect you to darkness. When you have that in your heart, when you have that thing on the inside, he can connect with you. Do you know why you're struggling this way? Maybe there is something in there that he's connected to. And, oh my Jesus, you have to break that connection. You have to break that chain. You have to break it and say, Jesus, I'm breaking this chain. Take more of me and give me more of you. Take more of me. Take more of my selfishness and give me your selflessness. Take more of my hate and give me your love. Take more of me. Give me your love, your joy, your peace, your goodness, your gentleness, your kindness, your faithfulness, your self-control, and your patience. Give me more of your spirit. Give me more of you, Daddy. Amen. Listen, that's the prayer. I wake up every morning and I say, Father, more of you. More of you. More of you. Because when you have less of the enemy in you, he has less control over you. What is that thing? I don't know if you're grieving here. I don't know if you're hurting. I don't know if that thing, you're carrying somebody on the inside because of some bitterness. Release. May the Lord grant you the grace to release so that you will not be connected to the enemy in any shape or fashion. Sometimes he uses even demons. Let me go to the last one. Satan's opposition is seldom direct, and it's most often through other means which we might not easily recognize as being satanically inspired. In Genesis 3, he came as a serpent. In Paul's life, it was a thorn in the flesh. He sought the Lord, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. For some of us, it's some kind of disease. It's some kind of sickness that he's using to hold us down. It is a subversive, not frontal attack, intrigue, deception, and trickery. I remember here in one church, I met with this young lady, and She's going to church. She's a Christian, all of that. And she was sharing with me some story, and she said, you know, I see these things at night. I see shadows. I said, what? I said, okay, so have you been long in this place? She said, yes. I said, so are you there alone? She said, no. I said, who are you with? The boyfriend was the one driving the car, and she went like this. I said, okay, I got it. Oh, with my boyfriend. Nyah! Red light. That's a red flag right there. I said, okay, can we go to the house? I spoke with them, and then I said, okay, maybe it's some kind of, you know, interference, and let me go and pray in this house. So I anointed water, and I started to sprinkle all over the place, and I started to pray. And then I said, you know what, I want to pray for you. She told me, oh, let me go to the bathroom quickly. Red flag. I've been in this business for too long with the Lord. I knew what was going on. She came out and her eyes were like this. I said, okay, okay. I said, okay, can you stand? Let me pray for you. And I just, with the anointed word, and that girl started, that lady started, just flipped and was just, I was there for like 45 minutes. At the end of my time with her, she was delivered of 11 demons. I'm talking about in the U.S. here, not in Africa. Here. She got up and she said, man. I said, so what did you see? She said, man, 11 demons went out of me. And they said, we have been there all your life since you were 3 years old. And she was asking me, when she was taking me back, she was asking me, Hillary, how could this be? I said, there was the opening. Are you married? Why are you staying? Why are you living with this guy? Cut off this relationship. Let him go and find a place. You can still be in your relationship, but let him move out of the house. Because if you continue doing this, it's like you're married. And Satan thrives in this. To date, I don't know if she has done it. I went back home and I said, have you guys, has he moved out? Oh, we are thinking about it. I said, my goodness. But I did tell them God's word. When the demons leave, if the house is still empty, Jesus says he will come out with 7 stronger demons into that clean house. I don't know what is happening in your life. But I'm telling you, maybe you're seeing things, you're having dreams, and it's like everything, every time you sleep, you're seeing the dead people, your parents that have died long ago, or friends that have died. Listen, it's the spirit of death haunting you. Don't be happy that, oh, I spoke with him. No, it's the spirit of death haunting you. And you need to be delivered. I can go on and on, but you know what? We are in a spiritual warfare. As I conclude, it says, let us be careful. Let us not be overconfident to say everything is okay with me. No, that's why constantly we want to connect with him. Do you have your daily devotion? Or when was the last time you spent time with that word, God's word? Or it's only now that you've come to church and, you know, I didn't read any scriptures. So are you going another week without spending time in God's word? That's where our confidence is. And the victory is the Lord's. Know this, that's where we're fighting from. From that vantage point that he has won the battle for us. Amen. And so we are confident of this, that he has done it for us. Thank you. Thank you.